Christopher Media. Let's make some noise. From AsthmaCorps Studios near Detroit, Michigan.
Oh, man.
It's the Weedsman Podcast.
I have no idea what's going on.
And now?
You have smoked yourself retarded.
Here are the Weedsmen.
You want to get high?
It's 2:05. I'm Chris.
I'm Rob.
I'm Aaron. Welcome back to the Weedsmen.
Yeah.
Welcome, welcome.
You made it.
It's a big weekend.
Yeah.
It's Infinity War weekend.
Oh. Yes. Oh. Holy
shit. As of recording this.
Sorry, cat just jumped in my lap unexpectedly.
Infinity War, huh? Did you both see it?
I have not. I have not yet. I have my tickets for tomorrow. I did not have time to see it before we recorded, unfortunately. But I know, yeah, Rob, you went to the theater.
Yes, this morning.
Had your mind blown?
10:30, yeah. I would say this movie's, for me, for superhero movies, I would say this is on the level of Batman. Keaton's version of Batman.
The original Batman.
Yes. It's that good. And, I mean, just some of the stuff you see, you know, throughout the whole movie. I mean, the visuals are on point. The story's on point. The cameos and how the characters, like, come together. And, you know, it's great. Yeah.
That's not such an easy thing to do, really.
Right.
Because a lot of times in comic books, they know, like, okay, we have to have an event and we have to bring these people together. So let's just get it over with.
Mm-hmm.
Let's have some pretense for why they all happen to be, you know, in the same place at the same time so they can go, let's make a team. And I think in movies you have an even higher bar for achieving that. I mean, that's one of the things that people may have made fun of the DC films for.
Hmm.
Because they have Batman like researching and files on all these people and he's already got these little icons made for each one of them, right?
Right.
Like, it's just a little too obvious for the supposed reality that we're supposed to be in this film.
Well, it's set up, really. You think about it, it was 10 years of setup for this one movie to come out.
That's the difference.
Yeah, that's what's so crazy about this. This is the first of its kind, really. The only one I can ever think of is like a Star Wars has been around for a long time.
Well, it doesn't sound like this would... If they said Marvel's first project, they wanted to be an all-out Infinity War Avengers movie. There's no way...
Clusterfuck.
There's no way...
Yeah.
I mean, everyone would have went to see it just to see, like, the spectacle, but it probably would have been a mess.
Right. And you wouldn't have all the backstory on every character.
But they've done so much work going into this movie that they can have that kind of frantic pace. And
yeah. And I would say another thing that, you know, like, if there was just, like, one negative I could bring out of this movie, yeah. I mean, it's Bang. So, yeah, one negative. It's, like, some of the characters kind of, like, clash a little bit character-wise because it's, you know, different writers from different movies. So you're expecting what you saw originally from, like, you know, the Black Panther movie.
So not all of the dialogue seems natural for their character.
Right.
It seems a little forced.
Yeah. It's just kind of like that kind of felt rushed.
Well, yeah, I guess, you know, the Russo brothers, the directors who did the Captain America movies, they do
which
have...
amazing.
Yeah. They do kind of have a style that's kind of like a spy thriller, even in the way the dialogue is, where everything's really sharp and terse and people get right to the point. You know, Captain America will bloviate every once in a while.
You say bloviate?
Bloviate, yeah.
I don't even know what that fucking means.
Just bloviate into the void. No, he'll just, you know, go on a mini rant about America and being proud and brave or whatever the fuck.
Not in this one. He's definitely...
right. Well, and no, but most times he's just like straight to the point. Like he's a military guy.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, that never wavers, yeah. But yeah, this is just a crazy, crazy movie. And I think anybody that's a fan of, you know, any of the Marvel movies or...
Doesn't seem to be disappointing anyone.
Yeah, no.
At this point in 10 years...
I haven't seen anyone say anything bad about it. I mean...
Have they put out a movie for every single person in Infinity Wars at this point?
Yeah, that's what I just said. Yeah. They've been doing it for 10 years.
Well, if you count those that were kind of just in the Avengers movies...
Like,
you know,
did
not ScarJo
get her own movie?
Well, no, not yet, but they're doing one.
They are actually going to... I mean, they've been...
Yeah, they already have it slated for 2019, I believe.
It's on the slate, huh?
Yeah. It's going to be part of Phase 3.
thought we were in phase.
Well, they got to jump on that female superhero thing.
Oh, I'm sorry. Well,
you trickle there and it's hot.
I think it's the next 10 years, phase one, maybe then. I don't know.
Oh, I don't know how
that's, it's yeah, because it's crazy.
Yeah. Well, no, they're going to have Captain Marvel out before then.
Yeah.
That's going to be their finally female lead superhero film.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they definitely hand it to that.
James Cameron said he hopes we all get Avengers fatigue.
Oh, I bet he does.
Saw that in an article this week.
I bet he does. So he can make some money.
Hey, I mean, we all got fatigued on, as a nation, we got fatigued on cowboy movies and didn't stop anyone from making Tombstone. You know, the thing is that...
You're fatigued on shitty boat movies.
Well, probably... we probably will reach the point where it's just not an automatic that you have a built-in audience just because you have somebody in a costume in your movie. You know, right. That you might have to work at it a little bit more and bring something more to the table. And it might even be better at that point because then the superhero movies that are going to get made are going to be the ones that kind of transcend the genre, that actually say something beyond just, you know, the typical bad versus good punch people until they submit and then get medals or whatever happens at the end.
Right.
Like, you know, superheroes don't get medals, do they? In Star Wars, they got medals for doing a good job.
Yeah.
And I say at the end, we all know
they
the
build
scene.
Statues. That's what they do for the superheroes. They build statues for them. I forgot about that.
In the DC world, they do. I haven't seen anybody yet. Well,
yeah.
Magneto made his own statue. I remember that.
Yeah. Yeah, in Marvel, they have to make their own.
Yeah.
In the Marvel universe, it's a toss-up whether that superhero is in the good graces of the public eye or not.
Right.
You know, because now everyone's got to tell a story about how the superhero goes bad.
Yeah, that's a big story.
Turns for some reason. Whether it's mind control or, you know, an alternate version of. And now everyone hates Captain America.
Oh, yeah.
And then he's got to build his reputation back up again.
Like, yeah, what is the point? It is. Hey, thanks. Thanks for not getting everybody killed.
Yeah.
Saved
everybody. It's kind of a big deal.
The point of this? I mean, this would be celebrated.
Yeah, they saved everybody.
What do
you mean? Yeah. I don't know what you're complaining about.
I never thought about that. That's the whole point of this scene. Hey, thanks for not getting everybody killed.
Yep.
Good job. Here's your not getting everybody killed medal.
Yeah, but... There's a pretty decent amount in just the looks that they're giving each other.
Yeah. I mean,
that Harrison Ford smile when he steps up and smiles at Carrie Fisher is just great.
And the Luke.
Such a goof.
Yeah, Luke does a great look at R2. He's like, Yep.
Well, I mean, if the, you know.
See?
They've been confirmed now. They're no longer rumors. He's probably just inside her, you know, before the filming of this scene.
I think it's... This is kind of one of the more brilliant moves of George Lucas to do this closing scene with no dialogue. Yeah. To decide, like, there's nothing here that we can say that needs to be said.
You
right?
know what this is for.
We understand it. Yeah. They are the heroes. They save the day. This is their celebration, right?
Yeah.
Thanks for killing everybody.
We fight hard. We party hard. This is how we party.
Yeah. It's my medal. It's not killing everybody.
Right. As soon as the credits are rolling, they're hitting the CNC music factory.
Yeah.
Everyone starts breakdancing.
It's music from the future.
Hell yeah.
Chewbacca does the running man. Chewbacca couldn't breakdance. He's too tall.
I know there's been many variations on the same dumb joke, but I think it was phrased perfectly on Twitter last night. Said, if you play a Godzilla movie backwards, it's about a benevolent lizard that helps rebuild Tokyo and then moonwalks into the ocean.
True. Very true.
Loves everybody.
Do you guys know that we're in the middle of a war in Detroit?
No.
Oh, I saw something about this.
A paintball war.
Yes. There's apparently in the city of Detroit, there's a paintball war going on.
Yeah.
Mm. Right. I guess they've got... A 22-year-old man in custody, Davon Williams, that shot at a police car, and now...
He's lucky they didn't shoot back.
Right.
Yeah.
I don't understand this. This is like something that they're trying to get gangs to do, like shoot each other with paintballs instead of...
Real weapons?
Instead of real guns.
Hmm.
But okay. instead they just shot the cop cars? Is that what happened?
Yeah. That's what it sounds like.
Craig said the use of paintball guns, this is a Detroit police chief, James Craig. Use of paintball guns on the city streets is not a suitable alternative to gun violence, and he hopes anyone interested in combating violence will reach out to the department for ways to help.
In the meantime, they better pray that, like, a resident don't shoot back at one of these motherfuckers.
Right.
It's only a matter of time, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, if people are getting shot over having a phone in their hand, like, having an actual gun.
Yeah. Paint, and guess what? They don't have to paint the tip orange like they do with toy guns, with paintball guns. Paintball guns look like fucking real guns.
They do, yeah, in most cases. They look like a weapon of some sort.
Yeah,
I don't know how accurate they are. Like, I don't think they do a lot of copies of real guns.
Somebody's going to get shot, and then
it looks like
sue,
a weapon.
And then they're going to sue either the police department or the person who shot them, and it's going to be, yeah, more waste of time and resources over stupid shit that people
don't
think about.
That's how it usually goes.
I think that somebody's pulling somebody else's leg with this alternative to shooting people shit. I mean, show me some statistics where murders are going down in Detroit during these
paintball wars. Yeah, that's
going to
fix everything in Chicago. Give everybody paintball guns.
Right. I mean, these kids weren't going to go out and shoot up a cop car and decided to do it with paintball guns instead, right? They shot the car because they were using paintball guns and they were just blowing off some steam.
Right.
Acting like assholes. But nobody said, hey, that guy that ripped us off yesterday, let's not go shoot his ass with bullets. Let's shoot his ass with paintballs.
Yeah, let's go shoot him with paintballs.
And then he'll learn his lesson.
Yeah.
Right. Nobody wants to be the guy who brings a paintball gun to a gunfight.
Because you'll look like an idiot.
Yeah, you'll be the first one shot.
You look like a dead idiot.
Bullet holes in yourself.
Hey, speaking of Detroit, or Michigan, rather.
Yes.
Legal marijuana is going to be on the ballot.
November.
In Michigan?
Yes, sir.
Made it?
They got enough signatures, and it then went to, I guess, the state senate or whatever.
Yeah.
They can't stop it now?
Who... Well, their option, once the signatures were validated, they had the option to either vote on it or pass it off to the voters and have them vote on it.
Mm.
And they decided to punt the ball. No big surprise out of the Michigan legislature.
Right.
Cool. So, all right. I mean, it won't take effect. You know, stores aren't going to open. Well, maybe. Maybe.
Yeah.
Like
maybe.
Well, think about this. If our medical program is already kind of wonky and messed up, how many of these businesses are going to, before they even put in place legal marijuana, just kind of start opening their doors to more people, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Not maybe checking as much of the credentials, not really caring about it, asking for forgiveness later.
Well, yeah, after it passes, yeah.
Yeah.
Right. They'll still probably be this gray area before it's put in place. And I don't think any part of this legislation puts in a time frame. It's just saying handles cannabis like liquor.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it could be, even though we've had over a decade of medicinal program in the state, and they are working on revamping that now, I think, with the idea that eventually legalized recreational is going to come down the line. But I'm sure they'll still find ways to roadblock it. Or say, well, we want to do some more studies, and we got to design our own logo for the packaging.
See, I don't... No, they're already doing that.
They have their own one.
Who?
Is it a yield symbol?
Yeah.
What's the name of it?
The dispensary, they have rolls of these stickers. Now it's printing out on their labels. But, like, hold on, let me...
But that's dictated from the state. Like, if you put...
Yeah. This little... That's part of the new Michigan law. Yeah, you have to put that little contains THC on it now. So, no, but this is stuff similar to what I've seen out west. Like, Oregon has this, you know, on the cartridges I'd buy out there.
So...
Comes with a little sticker wrapped around it with the little, you know, kind of like the same thing.
Right. This is going on the ballot this year in 2018 during the what is supposed to be the blue wave.
Well, we're about to get a Democrat governor. We've had a Republican one for 8 years, and he's not seeking, well, term limits actually are getting him.
Right. But I think, Michigan's a purple state. We tend to go back and forth. We had, 8 years of Granholm?
Yeah, we had 8 years of blue, and we had 8 years of red. We're about to get 8 years of blue again.
Right. Most likely.
Yeah.
And that's going to be boosted by this wave of support that, undoubtedly, if there's like...
If we get legal cannabis and then we get a Democratic governor, dude, it's fucking on.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Like...
Maybe we can get the movie studios back.
That'd be cool. More business.
So I'd rate it pretty high that, no pun intended, the chances of us actually getting this passed.
Detroit will turn out, Ann Arbor will turn out.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Young people will turn out. Young people turn out to get this done.
And the other thing is that old people will probably not specifically turn out to shut this down.
Some of them need it for their medication.
Right.
Well, true.
And some seem
but
to
even
fix
those
things.
Even those who still are against it will seem to be conceding that, like, look, if this is what the people want to do, let's let them do it. It's not that bad.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like the gambling thing. Nobody was really, well, not nobody, but there's a lot of people who just weren't for it or against it. They'd rather not see it, but they're like, well, you know, we do need something going on in Detroit.
Yeah.
Well, they need something because the other day I was driving down 8 Mile. It's a dispensary fucking graveyard. Good job, Detroit. Real good job.
Yeah, killing
it's
business.
It's sad.
Yeah.
How many of these places all got their fucking steel doors down, you know, that are all they're all shut up now.
Yeah. And the ones that... There are still some ones open on 8 Mile that I've seen, too.
Yeah.
And they seem to be doing quite well themselves. Those who actually have achieved a license, they're cleaning up. There's a place, what is it, Far West? Is that the one?
Far East?
Far West. No, that's the same group of... I go to their sister store, Five and Dime.
Okay.
At 8 and Mound. I used to go to Far East at 8 and Kelly, but they're getting their paper right now.
Okay. This place rented out a billboard right across the street from them with an arrow pointing at their building.
Fuck yeah.
Basically saying, we're one of the few left on 8 Mile that's still open.
Right.
No, the group that owns it, they got it's awesome. It's the only place I've found in the Detroit area that compares to anything I've been to out west as far as selection. With flour, edibles, concentrates. There you go. We'll be ahead of the curve.
That'd be nice.
I mean, someone in... There's already been, it's the full West Coast. You've had the barrier's been broken on the East Coast of Massachusetts. Someone's got to do it in the Midwest.
This would also be the U.S. breaking into double digits for a number of states with a legal program, recreational program.
Someone's got to do it in the Midwest. So then comes at you from the this way.
Classic and then, pincer maneuver.
Yes.
That's how the big city gets the rest of America in on their
because
culture.
I bet if we do it,
I don't know what I'm saying.
That then in turn opens the door for a state like Illinois, like where Chicago is, you know?
Yeah,
something nice. Like that.
It'll probably just spread out from there.
Mm-hmm.
There was some news about Illinois, but just some quick details on the bill that was approved to go onto the ballot. First in the Midwest to legalize a drug for recreational purposes, as you were just pointing out.
Mm-hmm.
It would let people 21 and older possess up to 2.5 ounces of marijuana.
Yes.
Or more than plenty.
Yeah.
Party.
It's like a week.
Grow up to 12 plants at home.
Okay, so it sounds like basically it's the same. That is, so far they're saying the exact medical regulations. Like.
And the 10% tax on marijuana would be assessed on top of the 6% sales tax. Now, that's pretty reasonable.
Yeah. So that is the same, the medical regulations. I can grow up to 12 plants.
Yeah.
And I can only have 2.5 ounces at a time.
But you also have to see a doctor and pay for that privilege.
Yes.
Now you won't have to anymore.
Correct. But I'm saying it's the same. It's smart idea. Yeah. It's, hey, look, same things you already have in place, now just for everybody.
Yes.
It's smart legislation.
And the old people will say, well, they're doing it anyway. Like, mm-hmm. You know, but
we got to remember too.
My grandson has a medical marijuana card.
Here's the thing that keeps losing sight of.
There's nothing wrong with him.
The old people are the fucking hippies.
No,
if you were 21 in 1967, you are 71 now.
The old people against cannabis aren't saying anything because they're dead.
Yeah, exactly. The old people now are saying this shit helps my arthritis.
Yeah.
It's good for the glaucoma.
Well, you know, speaking of the taxes on it, I was listening to Sam Cedar's program. He has an NPR radio program that airs on the weekends, and he was interviewing a man who owned a dispensary in, I think it was Pittsburgh, in Pennsylvania. You know that Pittsburgh?
Yes. There's Pittsburgh, California. I was in it last year.
Oh, wow.
And now, I'm going to get the language wrong on this because I'm not an accountant or a business owner. But he was talking about what he could write off, what he pays in taxes on his cannabis, right? And because Sam, the host, led right off with, like, how's business? You know, are you making money? Are you looking to expand? Is this a good investment? Because he came from some other line of business. I think maybe he was even a doctor or something like that. But he came from some other line of business into this. So we want to know how the transition was going for him. And the guy, of course, said, you know, he's in his first year of business there. He's like, I'm not going to tell you any of that. But I will tell you that I'm not making money.
Right. Damn.
He said that everyone thinks that this is a cash cow business, that, you know, it's a lock that you're going to make money on as long as you don't shoot yourself in the foot. And he's like, in reality, it's really difficult because his margins are so razor thin, and that's because of the taxes on it. Because of the fact that it's illegal federally, he can't claim other businesses against that income that he makes, right? So, like, he can write off what he pays for the cannabis itself, but he can't write off his rent or any of his overhead, his electricity. I mean, if he's if you've got a grow op and you can't write off your electricity and your water,
yeah, you'd be screwed.
Yeah,
that would be tough.
Yeah,
that would. So, I mean, I'm sure once we get rid of this schedule of marijuana that we currently have on the federal books, I think a lot of these problems will be solved.
Hmm.
But yeah, I guess it's not really the cut and dry, like, sell weed, make money business, like we often talk about it, you know?
I miss this. Yeah,
so I had mentioned we were talking about Illinois earlier, and I read a story on the Chicago Tribune this week about how basically people with opioid prescriptions could trade that out for medical marijuana.
Really?
Damn.
So patients with a prescription for opioids would temporarily qualify for the state's medical marijuana program under a bill in the Illinois Senate passed on Thursday. So this has been approved already. So, you know, Illinois doesn't exactly have the loosest medical marijuana program. They do have one in place. I don't know the exact limits of it, but mostly what we see from more conservative states is if you have cancer or epilepsy or some, like, debilitating disease, then you get approved for medical marijuana. Mm-hmm. It's not the loosey-goosey system that we have in Michigan.
What? Yeah. System in Michigan is...
So this is kind of a big deal to say that, you know, if you've had, like, back problems, some sort of chronic pain issues, an accident, and you would rather smoke marijuana than do opiates, this is a way to allow that to happen.
That's pretty kind of a big deal.
It allows that to happen without having your doctor be culpable. Because a doctor could easily say, well, look, if you don't want to take the pills, go, you know, get a medical card and do the marijuana. But
right. If
they do say that, then they're in danger of losing their license, which is controlled by the federal government.
Aha. Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Also, same would go for a veterans hospital.
So now they can just kind of do this?
If you have an old vet, comes in, gets his knees replaced.
Is this like cash for guns?
They give him some Vicodin. Yeah. He's like, you know what? I've had pill problems before. I've had alcohol problems.
This is Vicks for weed.
I have addiction issues. I don't want to take these Vicodin.
Let me get this weed.
Yeah, that's cool, though.
He doesn't even have to worry about trying to put his VA doctor in the awkward position
about this?
Of recommending something that is federally illegal. This just, it's like a one-for-one exchange. You can just go to
He declared war on opioids or whatever the fuck he did.
Right.
When he gave him $20,000.
Oh, I know. It was a ridiculously small amount.
Yeah.
Yeah. No. Turns out that was actually
just... Tell
the
boss about this. Start this in every state.
That was probably just a check that he cut to Ronnie Jackson for all the opioids that he got from him. The candy man. Did you hear about these stories? The guy that... This is the White House doctor. Remember the guy who got up and was like, Trump is not obese. He could live to he could live to be 280 years old if he stopped eating McDonald's.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I scanned his brain and it told me he was the smartest man in the world.
Jesus, crazy!
You know, like it's.
I measured
his cousin of Dr. Nick Riviera.
I measured his dick both flaccid and erect. And while I can't give out the exact numbers, I am here to say that he has both a good gym dick and working dick. His balls are exactly the right size in proportion to his dick and not too hairy.
It's a little anyway, comb over.
But no,
yeah.
So he got nominated for the head of the VA, the Veterans Association, which is a huge organization. And by this policy of apparently how Trump picks people to run things is like, who can I hit with a pencil from my desk? And then all this shit comes out about him, you know, being abusive, being drunk at times. I guess he crashed a car once.
What? Jesus.
And so he was, doctor may be.
And he was giving out so many drugs.
Illegitimate.
Like, when right. they go on a flight, it was just a standard thing. Like, okay, who wants uppers, who wants downers, right?
Jesus, I want to be on that flight.
Right. You know, you take some downers to pass out on the flight, and then when you get to your location, you got to go into a meeting so you can take some uppers.
Yeah, right. I heard it. He was going, wasn't he walking through an airplane?
That's how people described it, is he would literally walk up and down the aisles.
Like, there was some, yeah, he was handing out, like, who needs something to sleep, and then when they'd get there... Handing out, like, the Zap Vigil. Like, all right, who needs to be... All
right. Right. I wouldn't be surprised if they were doing the fucking IV... what do they call them? They get the clear bag of fluids and the IV.
Oh, I'm going to Vegas. They do that. When you're
right.
They have that in Vegas.
What do they call that, though? It's basically like a...
They hydrate you.
Rehydration, yeah.
Yeah. It's like flushing out your radiator.
Oh.
It gets the toxins
last
out.
That was my last chance for a good night's sleep.
The toxins that build up in your body.
For next week.
I'd do it.
The toxins.
Yeah, the candy man.
You know, your body, it's like an engine.
Oh, but I digress. That's not about weed. This is, and about DC, Elizabeth Warren and Cory Gardner are teaming up to fight crime. No. Elizabeth Warren is putting her support behind Cory Gardner's bill to keep federal hands off of cannabis. This is the one.
Wait, didn't Trump come out and say we're going to...
It has Trump's support, yeah. But what that says is, if this bill comes to my desk, I will sign it. You know, he still has to... He's not going to bring it up unless he knows he has enough votes to get it to pass, right? It's kind of rare that we see, like, the healthcare bill that McCain came out and gave the dramatic thumbs down to.
Yeah.
Isn't that, like, straight out of Game of Thrones?
I know.
No gladiator, yeah.
Right.
No.
Somebody was going to be beheaded at that point in the Senate.
A lion comes out.
Kill him.
There's a lion loose in the Capitol.
Kill this man.
McCain's officially gone insane.
And all the Republicans stand up and say, I am John McCain. I am John McCain. Yeah. I am John McCain. Well, no, but it's rather rare that bills actually get to that point where it's a squeaker vote on the floor. They either get enough, they either find out in advance that they have enough votes, or they don't ever bring it to the floor.
Yeah, why waste time with something that's going to be voted down? or they fatten it up with enough pork to get people to vote for it.
Yeah. Cory Gardner told Yahoo News, basically, this is a states' rights bill. This is a federalism bill that says if a state like Colorado decides to move forward on medical marijuana, recreational marijuana, CBDs, hemp, that activity is going to be lawfully, legally carried out.
Nice.
Now, if this bill is challenged, goes to the Supreme Court, and still is upheld, you can use that to bring down everything else that's on the federal government schedule. You will basically neuter the federal government when it comes to controlling any drug and leaving it up to the states.
Nice.
I shouldn't say any drug because I think the federal government would still have oversight like the FDA over prescription drugs and whatnot. Yeah. But anything that's considered recreational.
Like to see legalized crack for like 6 months.
A bill
just
like
to
this.
See what would happen.
A bill like this, if challenged and upheld in the Supreme Court, could probably affect the alcohol industry pretty heavily.
Oh.
You would have no more, can't trade over state lines and can't ship to this and that. It would be up to the states to decide whether they want to accept incoming alcohol or not.
That'd be cool. Have more craft beer.
Florida,
which pisses me off, Or Yenling in Michigan, please.
Nice. Yeah.
Because it says here, the proposed bill would not alter the scheduling of the drug. So going on to say that, it is Schedule 1.
Mm-hmm.
And instead, bill opts the state out of the marijuana provisions. I mean, maybe I'm stretching it a little bit. I'm not a politician or a lawyer. But this is the type of thing that, if it applies to marijuana, how can you say that it doesn't apply to other things like alcohol, heroin, cocaine, crack, whatever?
Right.
I don't think we'd do well with legalized crack in this country.
Hell no. People would be going insane.
Yeah. After 6 months, we'd repeal that decision.
Banks would be broken into. Just get the money to buy the coke. That's all you need.
Right. Well, so far, they have Trump's support on this, but they don't have Trump's pulpit.
Come on.
He's not. He's here tonight, actually.
Trump's
go get him. Go get him. All right, guys.
Get him high.
Podcast over.
Relax.
Get him high.
We're going to go grab him.
Hot box him against his will.
See if we get him on the show.
Right. Relax, guys. I believe that in the theory that there's no such thing as bad press, but there's bad attention. And the FBI is not somebody that we need listening to our show. That's like the only people that we're not looking
to. No, we wanted to hang out with them.
Yeah, we're not trying to kidnap
them. We
didn't
go get them. We meant to hang out with them.
I thought you were going to kidnap them.
No, I meant hang out with them.
We're going to force the president to smoke dope, and then he'll see the things in a different light.
Yeah.
And world peace will fall across the land.
Exactly.
Because he'll just be like,
he knows us.
This stuff is good. Why are we fighting all the time?
We shouldn't fight over this. We should give it to everybody.
I'm going to delete my Twitter account. You've made me see the light.
No, he would just use it more.
And then we're heroes.
Trump's like, I don't have enough black friends.
I really like this jazz music, but I don't know how to express that.
That still reminds me of, who was it? When he asked the representative if she knew the leaders of the Black Caucus, that she could set up a meeting.
The Black Caucus.
It was basically Trump thinking like all black people go to a meeting. It was that.
Jesus.
Trump asked African-American reporter to set up meeting with black lawmakers. he asked the reporter to do it.
Hey, you.
Now I get it.
Yes.
Do this. Yeah.
Look, obviously, you know these black people.
Yeah.
Let's sit down. We'll hash it out.
I wish I could have heard that whole story. Change between them.
You need to get the drop of, look at my African-American over here. you remember that one?
Yes.
No. Did Trump say that?
Oh, yes.
Oh, my God.
Somebody spliced that with a picture of video footage of Kanye dancing. He's like, look at that.
With Your urban agenda, your inner city.
Yeah, I remember this one now.
Are you going to include the Congressional Black Caucus and the Congressional?
Well, I would. I tell you what. Do you want to set up the meeting? Do you want to set up the meeting?
You want to set it up?
No, no.
Are they friends of yours?
Jesus.
Let's go set up a meeting. I would love to meet with
you. I feel like he's trying to intimidate her. You know him? Black
Caucus. I think it's great.
Tell him to come down here.
Yeah, you guys all hang out once a week, right?
Right. You have your black meeting.
You guys all know each other.
Jesus. Oh, my God. This guy's our president.
So he backs the bill.
Right. You might as well have said, you know, have them bring their electric basses and their...
their saxophones.
Their saxophones. We'll have a jam session.
And your Afro picks.
Right.
So he backs this bill. Uh-huh.
Is Beyonce coming?
Yeah.
Do you know her?
I'd love to see her.
I know Jay-Z.
Got her on her speed dial.
So, Trump, he backs this bill. I don't know. What was I saying about it, though? Oh, yeah. No, only that Trump hasn't really been talking about this as an issue, right? He hasn't been talking about opioids much either.
No.
It's one thing for him to say, yeah, I will assign this bill if it passes. But if he's out there saying, I want to see this bill pass, then that means that the Republicans are going to have to make the decision to either fall in line or suffer some sort of consequences.
Mm-hmm.
Did you guys see the story in the Rolling Stones, the Weed 101?
I think I saw something about that.
How to choose marijuana.
Yeah.
Is it green? Does it smoke?
Like,
right.
Go to the dispensary and ask them, you know?
Yeah.
It's not that big. It's sativa or indica. That's pretty much it. If you're a beginner, if you don't know where to start with it, there's nothing else that you need to know.
And first of all, this article starts with, I've never been great at smoking weed. Then you should not be the person writing this article.
I love this. This is, he says, while some lucky smokers can come home, spark up a fatty, and enjoy the benefits of ancient plant medicine. Why does he call it ancient plant medicine? It's not ancient plant medicine.
Aliens.
Wait, do you go home and pour yourself a glass of whiskey?
We have to accept the fact millennials have jobs now, Aaron.
Yeah. Right.
It's probably one of them was probably writing this article.
This ancient liquid medicine that I am taking.
Yeah.
Elixir. He says there's always a chance I'll end up lying awake all night, heart pounding, too out of it to even follow an episode of Bob's Burgers.
Why do you watch that? There's way better H. John Benjamin cartoons you could be watching. Archer just started up again.
Oh, yeah. I got to put that on the DVR. It doesn't sound like marijuana is the drug for him at all, right?
Mm-mm. Not at all.
Yeah, man.
If this drug caused me to lie awake and I couldn't even focus on a fucking cartoon...
Yeah, not do it again.
Yeah, I would stop. Immediately.
Oh, then didn't you say your first experience was like, this is fun?
Well, first experience was like an anxiety attack. But yeah, this sounds like this is a 50-50 chance for this guy. This isn't like, I've never done it before and my first time was horrible. It usually is. It's like sex.
It's better with practice.
Yeah.
When someone offers me a joint at a party, I ask, is it strong?
Exactly. You would get laughed out of the room if he was at a party with us.
I would just take the joint back. Yeah. I would just skip right over him.
Maybe this isn't for you.
Right. Is it strong?
Is it strong?
Is it mean?
Like this.
What are you, fucking stupid?
Yes. Thank you, Jordan.
Then take the small... he would say... I ask, is it strong? And then take the smallest hit possible to gauge its effects.
Oh!
The little tiny hips.
I look at him like, what the fuck's wrong
with
you? I
want to make sure I'm not going to freak out. Even then, sometimes, I have to leave. Even then.
No,
right?
Probably because you're told to leave. People could go, get the fuck out of here.
Taking the smallest of hits off of it, it may still be too strong for him. Okay, so that's your brain chemistry. And this is not the drug for you. I know it. I'm having a little fun. We're ridiculing this guy for being a lightweight. But, like, why are you writing about marijuana? Why did Rolling Stone go to you?
Yeah, why did
the first sentence, I was like, you are not the person to be writing this article.
Are you telling me that the editor at Rolling Stone said, We don't have any weed smokers on staff.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know, right? Right.
Somebody's got to write this story.
Any of you? Come on, people, please.
So sometimes he would have to leave because who knows what I've even been saying. My brain is on a 7-second delay from my mouth.
What?
And I'm so thirsty and confused.
Yes! That's supposed to happen. You don't like being high, apparently.
Dude, you're not
you don't
used
like
to this.
Being high.
You're not used to this, bro. Calm right. down.
You just said that you were mad because your weed worked.
Basically.
Right.
Man, we have roasted. We are a paragraph in and we've already. This guy's been. We've already roasted the fuck out of this guy.
So why does he do it? He does say, while most people would have given up by now, I've had enough good times to want to keep trying. The right kind of leaf renders me so chill.
Oh my God. You sound like an idiot.
He's so not a smoker.
Yeah, you suck.
Right.
Because somebody said,
you suck, dude, and you know it.
Dude, you know what I'm talking about, man. You know what I'm talking about? When you get that right kind of leaf and it just makes you chill.
Yeah, that leaf. You know, I refer to it as the leaf.
The right kind of leaf renders me so chill.
So chill.
You can make ice in me.
Oh, get the fuck out of here.
So this person writes for Rolling Stone. I want to throw that out there. This person writes for Rolling Stone magazine.
I want to reincarnate Hunter S. Thompson and make him read this thing so he'll kill himself again. Imagine. Imagine him reading that if he was still alive.
He'd fucking shoot him. Right in the head.
Plus, there are concrete benefits. Cannabis has been shown to help with everything from insomnia to menstrual cramps, but clearly not. It's not an. If a doctor said, you can take, if you're having problems sleeping, take this pill. There's a 50% chance that it'll put you to sleep. The other 50% that you'll lie awake unable to follow Bob's Burgers. I would not call that a cure for insomnia.
No.
I would call it a coin toss.
God damn it.
This guy's an idiot.
Well, we don't know if this is a man or a woman, because their name is Jamie Peck. I don't know. I want to know if there's a man card to revoke.
Well, they...
I don't even know what's man card.
They talked to some experts about the basic things to look out for when shopping for dank buds.
Oh, God. I hate you. People say that word, dank. Fuck you. I'm sorry. Okay, I'm done.
Dad, stop talking.
Yeah, Dad. Who the fuck are you?
We use experts.
No, you're not.
A New York marijuana delivery guy we'll call Joe says, if you're having trouble sleeping, you probably want to smoke indica before you go to bed.
No shit.
Oh, really?
It's like when you feel high and your body wants to lie down. Sativa is like an upper. Okay, end of story. That's all you need to know.
Right.
Yeah. End of list.
Article's over.
If you have a big project you want to tackle, smoke sativa. If you want to just chill out, smoke indica.
Right. It's like trying to, if I was to say, I've never drank coffee before, like, what kind of coffee should I buy? Like, just get some coffee and figure it out. Yeah. You'll see what you like and what you don't like.
Right.
If you like being up when you drink coffee, drink caffeinated. If you don't, if you can't handle the caffeine, drink decaffeinated.
Yeah.
That's it.
If you think coffee tastes like shit and you don't like being up, don't drink coffee.
Right. If it causes you to lie awake at night, unable to keep up with a cartoon. He does say in here that if you have ADHD, that sativa and indica's effects are switched. I don't know what I have because it seems rather that I don't notice a huge difference between indica and sativa. I've never smoked sativa and went, oh my God, I can't fall asleep, and just stared at the ceiling.
I have. Or it just doesn't feel like it's working for me.
That's more so. I think the really upper stuff just feels like I have to smoke more of it.
Kind of.
What else does this mentally challenged person?
Oh, I don't know.
Tell us.
No more. No more.
I think that was all the good parts of it.
I hope. I'm sorry.
Done with the Rolling Stones.
Yeah, I'm never going to read any articles from them. They're idiots.
Oh, speaking of beginner guides, High Times had a story about how much is a gram of weed, visually understanding marijuana quantities, saying that you have to start off with knowing the difference visually between a gram and an eighth.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Fourth grade science, the section about volume.
Well, I think it would take one time. Like, you'd say, that if somebody said, "What do you want, a gram or an eighth?" You might go, "Show me what a gram looks like." They'd hand up a little baggie, and then you'd decide from there. And it would never have to be told or know anything else. Nothing else would take any more thinking beyond that, right?
Right.
You might decide you want more quantity, so then they go, "Do you want to get a half?" I don't think you would go, "I have no conception of what a half would look like," right? You'd know what it looked like when you got an eighter.
Right.
And you just go, "Oh, it's four eighters." And they'd hold up a big baggie, and you go, "That looks like four eighters to me."
Right. Simple. People should understand this.
I don't think that anyone who's reading High Times would not already know this.
Right.
If you don't know what visually the difference between a gram and an eighth looks like, then you're not reading High Times. They do include a handy chart in converting eighth to grams. Dude, only if you're selling.
I know, right? It's basically a how-to chart for drug dealers.
Right.
You do not, as an average user, you don't need to know that there's 7 grams and a quarter. What does a gram of weed look like? It says, dude, you have like a tree branch of cannabis on your cover.
You put your weed in there.
Like, nobody strolled by that on the magazine rack and went, "I don't even know what a gram of weed looks like. Maybe
look
I'll
like
buy this magazine and hope that it has a handy guide that can show me.
Were they grasping for content over there at High Times?
No, they go all the way. They have a visual representation of, they show it on a scale in a little bowl, what an eighth, a quarter, a half, an ounce, all what it looks like.
Show me what a pound looks like, High Times.
Meanwhile, like, Snoop Dogg's reading this going, "This is fascinating." I had no idea they even sold it in grams.
Yeah.
How is that ever enough? Ounce, like, yeah. I'd have to turn right back around. Like, I'd buy a gram, smoke it on the way to my car.
Yes, for the way home.
And then have to turn right back around and buy some more.
You know, I'm hoping that we're cultivating that same kind of image. You know, so when we do blow up, like, people just go places, people just hand us weed. Like, hey.
That'd be nice.
Hey, you're the weedsman, right? You guys should be high.
I think it must have a limit of some sort.
Hey, he got to smoke in the White House. He said he smoked while he took a poop in the Lincoln bathroom or fucking whatever.
The Lincoln bathroom.
Yeah. The poop in the bathroom.
Oh, I'm just thinking with that.
The Nixon bathroom.
Cannabis Wheaton Income. The world's first ever cannabis streaming company.
What? What will it involve?
You guys aren't streaming your weed?
No.
Oh, my God.
No, I smoke it.
Yeah.
What does this even mean?
If it's something to stream a bunch of Bob Marley videos,
Bob
dude,
Barley?
I'm straight.
Bob Marley.
Bob Marley.
The company has over 15 streaming agreements so far. Investors should learn about cannabis streaming. Despite our cautious view of the business model, yeah, we should learn. Where do we learn about cannabis streaming?
Now, what is it?
This is actually a thing. Like, yeah. If I Google cannabis streaming, is anything going to come up other than your
weed
business?
TV.
Yeah,
I don't know if it's content or if it's some sort of concept. Cannabis streaming, new cannabis ventures. Cannabis Wheaton. Why cannabis streaming is taking off. With Canada potentially facing a substantial undersupply of cannabis product next year, as the market becomes legal for adults, licensed producers are rapidly adding capacity to meet expected demands. New business models designed to bridge the capacity shortage by providing capital and operational expertise has emerged over the past 2 years, or the past 2 weeks. Streaming, they put in quotes, which infuses capital into a company in exchange for a stream of revenue from production in the future. There's already a word for this, isn't there?
There's investing.
Right?
Yeah.
No, being a partner, right? There's... Why did they have to have a word for it? Just because what you're investing is a cannabis business.
I actually found a definition of what this is from an article from September.
How do they define it?
The results, Rafichi's Cannabis Wheaton customized a financing model traditionally used in the mining sector to become the first cannabis streaming company in the world.
Like for mining, like saying, like what they do with oil plots or whatever fields, like they get somebody to invest in the front end so you can dig this shit out of the ground in some way or pump it out of the ground, and then they get paid back on the back end when you sell all the valuables that you reaped from the earth. It's the same concept. We know you're going to make money off of this cannabis eventually, so we'll invest on the front end of it.
All right, here we go. The company provides funding for facility expansions, operations, and or initial construction in exchange for minority equity interest in a portion of the cultivation production. Gives the company's partners a platform for growth so they can focus on production and innovation. They're legal drug funders.
Yeah, yeah.
They're the legal money guy.
But why streaming?
Why are you calling it streaming?
Yeah. It's not the right term.
Reminds me of this.
Innovation. Tomorrow, America. Sunstream.
That was the fake company that Steve Martin was the president of in 30 Rock.
Right. I remember it was from 30 Rock, but I couldn't remember the circumstances.
The setup for the commercial, he was, have you ever seen our commercials? They don't say anything. He's like, there is no product. Hey, Rob.
Yo.
What drugs are you on?
Funny you should ask. This week we're smoking an interesting strain, really. Nightmare OG. Now,
oh boy.
Yeah.
Are we going to have nightmares on this shit?
You might. It will put you to sleep. It's a hybrid, a very indica-dominant hybrid, 70-30 on the strain. It's a potent cross of the infamous OG-18 and White Nightmare, which is also the nickname White of Donald Nightmare? Trump.
Wait, what?
White Nightmare?
Oh.
Yeah, that's a strain. This powerful bud packs a hard-hitting 28 to 30% THC level into each tiny little nug and a relaxing full-bodied effects that'll leave you dazed for hours on end. The Nightmare OG high creeps up on you, hitting you with a little while you first toke before launching your mind into a lifted state of cerebral energy. This is great.
Right.
This feeling is very buzzy, where it can leave you unfocused, which can cause anxiety in some users if you're not careful. As your mind is catapulted into new dimensions of bliss, your body will be dragged down into a numbingly relaxing body high that leaves you couch-locked and immovable for hours on end.
I think they
the
might
guy
be
from Rolling Stone write this?
No, this is great, though.
They might be overselling it a tad.
Thanks to these hard-to-find, hitting nighttime effects, Nightmare OG is often chosen to treat conditions such as AD or ADHD, migraines or headaches, depression, chronic stress, or pain.
What's AD?
Attention deficit.
Oh.
Just the plain.
Not AIDS?
Not AIDS. I didn't say AIDS.
Not ADD?
This bud is a lemony pine flavor with hints of fresh spicy berries on each exhale. Damn. The aroma is similar to a woody citrus overtone. Nightmare OG buds have fluffy, frosty, minty green nugs with fat, furry orange hairs and tiny white crystal trichomes. But yeah, thank you very much. I'm going to have to find more from this person. He's very...
That is very thorough, imaginative, well-written.
Yes, allbud.com.
Allbud.com. I like it.
Yeah, I'm going to have to go back and get more.
Sorry, using
that sounds like a real connoisseur. I mean, sometimes you think, like, what can you really say about it? I mean, if you're not a connoisseur of it and you just want some wine, like, right. You just want some wine that tastes good, and it either tastes good or it doesn't.
Well, I think,
but this makes me think that this is a real thing. Like, this guy knows what he's talking about.
Yeah,
well, he's like a food critic.
Yeah, I think too that people that are, you know, it's going to be as it becomes legal throughout the United States. You're going to see more sommeliers, if you call them weed sommeliers, being like earthy tones and fruity hints and all
like
that.
Like, whatever happened to that Weed Snobs series?
Oh yeah,
what?
Like it came out like a couple years ago. We watched it and then. None,
I'm sorry. I smoke a lot of weed. I don't remember what you're talking about.
Was that affiliated I forget.
See, you smoke a lot of weed too.
What's the paper that Ricardo Baca works for?
The cannabis.
Is that associated with the cannabis?
No, but it was associated with like weed maps or something like that. Oh, okay. I remember.
Yeah, I heard that they fired all their staff except for Ricardo Baca.
Yeah.
He's the last man standing.
Him and a bunch of bots. Maybe he'll answer my emails again.
Yeah.
Not likely. He's got to do everyone else's job now.
He's like, I keep getting all these goddamn emails from you. Stop.
Hey. You there in them French braids. Thanks for listening.
You there with that handlebar mustache.
Yeah. If you got the handlebar, maybe you got a handlebar beard.
Sick of using your wife's curlers to curl your handlebar mustache?
Yeah, we're big on the West Coast.
I had the beardizer. There's
probably a handlebar mustache too that listens to us. Or hey, United Kingdom, we see you.
You like, think that's where the handlebar mustache is?
Well, no, just the downloads from the UK this year have grown quite a bit.
Hey, you there in the bowler cap?
Yeah. Thanks for listening. You can follow us on Twitter at TheWeedsman420 and on the gram.
The Weedsman Podcast.
Boom. And email the show, TheWeedsmanPodcast@crispmeeting.net. There's an Amazon link that you can click and bookmark. If you want to help a podcast out, you can just donate too. Click on this PayPal. That's all you need, secure and all that shit. And stay high.
Stay high.
Stay high.